guy named Hebert that used to come to our church and invited his buddy to come to church and his new wife. Well, I guess they introduced each other or told him you ought to marry him. And they waited a long time to come to our church. Shame on you, brother. Brother Price. Amen. We're glad you're here. All right. Heritage Hero. Now be careful. Mrs. Price is out there, so don't run her over, all right? Hit them up, move them out. You never heard that in your church before. See you guys. Thank you, Jonah. May the Lord be with you and encourage you. Waiting for the traffic to quiet down a little bit, amen. Hey, I'm glad you're here. You're going to hear my friend preach to you tonight. And I beg God's power and blessing upon him. What a friend. And he knows about it. All right, Brother Rudy.
Well, it's certainly a joy to be here tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn with us to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I know you're all familiar with this text. I just want to read tonight down to verse 12 through verse number 17. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed being with Brother Shearer this time. We've had some wonderful fellowship. We pick and cut up with one another, and I call him a Yankee, he calls me a Reb, but I'll tell you what, he gets to driving fast, and I holler, rattlesnake, rattlesnake. He gets to scare me, and I'm telling him I'm going to get a rattlesnake involved in you, and so he don't like snakes. But anyway, we've had a great time together, and I've enjoyed being here, and always so much liberty to preach, and people that are so kind to us, and everybody's been so gracious, and thank you, preacher, for inviting us, and I'm sure have enjoyed being here tonight. I want to be a blessing to God's people, and it is my heart's desire. Well, let's stand together for a moment, rest ourselves, and reverence the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being saved and kept by the power of God. Thank you for the privilege to assemble together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is here in the midst as He said He would be. Lord Jesus, take the reins of our heart and of this service. Guide us in the ways we should go. Lord, search my heart. Purge me personally from anything that would hinder or grieve the Holy Ghost from working as He wants to work. And Lord, I pray for your anointing and your ability and liberty to preach the Word of God. And I pray for this waiting congregation that you'll open their ears to hear, their hearts to receive, their will to obey the good Word of God. And Lord, suit a blessing to every soul. If there's one here, Lord, save them tonight. If there's a discouraged one, encourage them tonight. If there's one cold and indifferent, Lord, revive them tonight. And Lord, if there's a backslider, reclaim them tonight. And may everything said and done redound to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Stay with what you know. Stay with what you know. In this chapter, after describing characteristics of the last days, days of corruption, days of covetousness, days of confusion, when Paul has told Timothy what shall befall the last days, he now turns and gives a word of personal exhortation to Timothy, who he had mentored in the faith. And he gives him these words to comfort him and encourage him in the face of the persecution that he himself would have to go through as God's man. There were perilous times in Paul's day, perilous times in Timothy's day, as there will be in the last days. Now, in the view of the perilous times that were sure to come, he gives him a word down in verse 14 and says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Now, the way we would say that back home, and the way we would say that down south, is, "Hey, feller, stay with what you know. Stay with what you know. And don't be swayed, don't swerve, don't get tripped up, don't get confused. But stay with what you know. Continue thou in the things which thou hast known or hast learned and hast been assured of." Now, I think that as we consider that we are the generation that have come to see 2 Timothy chapter 3 taking place before our very eyes, this I know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. We're living in the last days. And I think that in this hour, when we see all the corruption and all the wickedness that's befalling our generation and in our world, I think if there's ever been a time that we need to be grounded and founded in the faith, it is the people of God. It is in this hour. And I think we have to make up our mind that we're not going to be tricked, we're not going to be trapped, we're not going to compromise, but we're going to stay with the old path and stay with the old time way and stay, amen, with the good word of God, not looking for some newfangled something, not looking, my friend, for some off the wall kind of doctrine. That I'm going to stay with the old Bible and stay with the old path and stay with God's word. Say amen right there. And I, by the way, I just want to stay with what I know. I've been preaching now since July the 4th, 1968. 45 years preaching the Word of God. I want to tell you, brother, I'm more persuaded of this Bible as being the Word of God than ever before. And I'm not looking for another book. I'm not looking for something new. I'm telling you what, this one works. Say amen. I'm going to stay with what I know. I've tried it and I've proved it. Bless God, it works. Say amen right there. Well, let me talk a little bit tonight about staying with what you know. As we look at the text I read to you tonight, let me say that, first of all, there's here some things I know about suffering. There's some things I know about suffering. And here's something you can just know, you mark it down. You know this. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution." Y'all with me? Did I say that wrong? Are y'all there? Hello? "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, notice this. It did not say that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It said all that what? Will live godly. If you just have a desire to live for God, if you just have a will to live for God, you can mark it down, you will encounter the adversary. You, hey, I'll tell you, we'll run head on with the devil if you've got a desire, amen, if you've got a desire to live for God, you can mark it down, you will lock horns with the devil. You'll run head on with the devil. Exactly right. But let me say something to you. You can't run head on with somebody unless you're going opposite direction. You'll get that in a minute. But hey, there's some people think, you know, you get saved, it's all going to be a bed of roses. Oh, it will someday, but not in this nasty world. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to wrestle a good wrestling match. We're to stand, having done all to stand, and stand. Amen. I'll tell you, we are in a battle. We're in a warfare. And it's getting worse and worse. And as we are seeing the wickedness abounding everywhere and the filthiness that is polluting our society and our nation becoming not only non-Christian but literally anti-Christian. God help us. Don't you get all bent out of shape if somebody talks about you because you come to this old-fashioned Baptist church. And don't let them intimidate you because you believe in this old King James Bible.
Come on, man.
And don't let them look down their nose at you because you believe in singing those old-fashioned hymns. I'm telling you what, I'm just going to stay with what I know because it works. Say amen right there. But there's a fact of it is, if you live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. And you say, well, Brother Rudy, I ain't being persecuted. Well, either you're lying. Hello? Come on, man. Well, the Bible ain't so. And I got a real feeling. I know what's going on. You're lying. Or you ain't living godly. It might be you think you're living godly. You ain't living godly. But if you live godly, you will. It may not come today, but I'll tell you, you live for God somewhere down the line, you're going to ruffle the devil's feathers. Say amen right there. Or horns or whatever. But I want to say this. Brother, there's some things, some people have the idea, you know, oh, you can just name it, claim it. There's some of these religious racketeers out there, my friend, they're selling folk a bill of goods. I'm telling you what, God, some of the best people in God I know are fighting it. I mean, they're up against it. I'm telling you what, they got the nose to the grindstone. They're carrying heavy burdens. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So there's some things I know about suffering. Number two, there's some things I know about seducers. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Somebody thinks, you know, some of these millennials, they think things are going to get better and better and better. And somebody thinks Barack Obama is bringing us into it. Things are not getting better and better. Things are not going to get better and better. I don't care if we have a Republican or a Democrat. It's not going to get no better. It's going to get worse and worse. Because the Bible said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That word seducer means juggling imposters. And there's a lot of people, my friend, that are swallowing lies that will reject God's truth. They will turn their back on God's Bible and they'll embrace the Koran. They'll turn their back on Christ and they'll embrace, my friend, Muhammad or Buddha or some other bird, you know, out there in the religious world. But I want to tell you what, friend, evil men, seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deception is the rule of the hour. People are being deceived. They're being deceived. And you know why people are so deceived? It's because they've turned their back on God's criteria. Listen, years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, I forget how many years ago, they took the Bible out of school. They want you to read the Bible. They want to have prayer in school. And ever since then, come on now. Brother, it's been on a downhill slope ever since then. You know that. So now, they don't want no Bible, so now they have to have gun screening devices, you know, metal detectors. And, I'm telling you what, and But really, when people lose their moral compass and a nation has lost its moral compass, we don't want the Word of God nothing. I mean, and if anybody, you know, if anybody wants to, if they want to keep our religion inside these four walls, they want to take it out in the world, like Jesus said, go into all the world. Main Street's all the world. Amen. The schoolhouse is all of the world. Say amen right there. Praise God. Listen, if you're a student in the high school, hey, they can do a lot of things, but they cannot legally, not yet, they cannot legally shut you up from giving your testimony for Jesus. They might not let a teacher do it, but they can't stop you from doing it.
Right.
Amen. So tell the story. Tell the story. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people are in deception tonight because they have rejected the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. And my friend, this nation was built on its principles, but we have thrown it out as a nation. And the Bible said, and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And that's where we're at as a nation tonight. Isn't that right? Isn't that where we're at? Oh, I've got to hurry on. Preach told me I just had 15 minutes. I thought I'd just pull his leg a little bit. He did tell me. Yeah, I'm going to preach it. Hey, something else. Not only things I know about suffering, things I know about seducers. In the text now. But I'll say some things I know about salvation. In verse 15, that one child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Salvation. There's some things I know about salvation. And I'm not changing.
Yes.
I'm not changing mind about. I'm staying with it. I believed this 45 years ago. I still believe it tonight. I preached it 45 years ago. I'm still preaching it tonight. I'm staying with what I know.
Yes.
I'm saying to this old-fashioned church, stay with what you know. This man of God's preached to you. He's brought the message. He's brought the Word of God to you. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the real stuff. Bless God, this old fashioned King James Bible is the real stuff.
Right, brother.
Amen right there. Hey, there's some of this religious stuff out there that ain't real.
Right.
And you say, well, how will I know the difference? Well, just get so acquainted with the real, amen. You won't have to scratch your head when something ain't real show up. Years ago, my pastor had, in his church he was at, he had a couple that their son went off to Washington, D.C. and began to work for, I think, the FBI or the U.S. Mint or somebody. Anyway, he got in the counterfeit, anti-counterfeit department of the government. And he went off to study for months and months. He'd been gone for 6 months. And he came home one day, and his parents was asking him at the table, said, son, so what does the counterfeit money look like? He said, I don't know, Dad. I ain't ever seen any. What do you mean you ain't ever seen? What have you been doing for 6 months, boy? He's like, well, Dad said, all we've been doing is studying the real stuff.
Yeah, amen.
So we're becoming so familiar with the real stuff. We know how it feels. We know how it smells.
Amen.
We know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And what they're thinking is this: if we get so acquainted with the real stuff, anything that ain't real shows up, we'll know it automatically. And I think that's what we need to do as the people of God. I think we need to get so familiar with the Word of God and the things of God and the ways of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God that anything shows up that ain't of God, we'll know it immediately. I don't have to scratch my head and say, was God in that or not? I believe you didn't know about the things of God. I believe you're going to say with what you know. Say amen right there. But there's some things I know about salvation. Let me give them to you. One of these mics on. Have you got one of those mics I can run around with?
Yeah.
Give me one. Oh, yeah. Give me a mic. I want to clear. Let me. There's some things I know about salvation. Number one, I want to say this. One thing I know about salvation is this. God planned it.
Amen.
God planned it. This is not some Jewish rabbi who's got together and come up with a scheme of religion, but this is the plan of God. And God planned it. I'm telling you what, salvation began with the Lord. The Lord's the one that planned it. God planned it. Say amen. He did not get taken by surprise when Adam and Eve sinned. How you know that? Well, because Jesus is called the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. I'm telling you, God done had the plan in place before He ever made a man. God planned it. God planned it. I believe God planned it. This is not my plan. This is God's plan. God's plan of redemption. God planned it. I believe salvation is of the Lord. God planned it. Secondly, something else I know about salvation, not only God planned it, but Jesus Christ purchased it.
Amen.
Amen. He purchased our salvation with His own blood. I've been bought with the blood. Thank God I've been redeemed. And the word redeemed means to purchase. Amen. And He set me free by the price that He paid. Hallelujah for the blood of my redemption. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Bible said without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. I'm telling you, Jesus paid for my soul with His own blood. He became my ransom. In the Scriptures, and I know pastors dealt with this, the word redeemed in the New Testament is from three different Greek terms. The word lutro means to set free by paying a price. The word agerizo means to purchase in the market. The word exagerizo means to purchase in the market, to take out of the market. Amen. I want to tell you what, Jesus fulfilled all that. The Bible said, and you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Amen. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Who was slain from the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times. Hey, I want to tell you what, bless God, I've been bought by His precious blood. I'm redeemed by blood. He set me free. The Lamb has set me free. I touched this the other day in Sunday school, and it's still been getting real big in me. John Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah for the Lamb. And I got to study in the Old Testament, and I studied that passage of Scripture that said a lamb without blemish. Amen.
Right.
You know, I redeemed a couple of things, corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the fishing of your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Brother, will you help me preach? Get down on your knees, all four. Preacher, will you help me preach? Come on up here. Come over here. Amen. Stand up there behind you.
Do what?
Stand up there behind him.
Sit up.
Yeah, stand over there. Get down on your knees right there. All right now. Put your hand on this lamb.
On his leg?
On his lamb. On this, this is your lamb, all right?
My lamb.
All right now. I'm the high priest in the Old Testament. Now the high priest, when that fellow was to bring a lamb, they had to make sure that lamb was without blemish and without spot. So they got to checking this lamb. They got making sure there was 30-something criteria they had to, my friend, to make sure that this, I mean, they checked, make sure he got no parasites, no scars, nothing superfluous. His teeth had to be right. Everything about this lamb had to be. They inspected the offering. They inspected it. Made sure it was right. Now, here's what blesses me. They never did look at this bird. They never looked at the offerer.
Right.
They know he's guilty.
Yeah.
But they're looking at the offering to see that it's perfect. Because only a perfect offering could atone for, amen, for the sin of the offerer. I want to tell you what, Jesus is the Lamb of God. There was nothing wrong with Him. He was perfect. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Thank God. And He shed His blood to redeem and cover my soul. God, amen. Thank you, little lamb. Yes. What I'm saying is I've been purchased by precious blood. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. What I said a while ago is something I know about salvation. God planned it. The Lord Jesus purchased it with His own blood. The other two terms, the lutro means to set free by the payment of a price. That's what it means. Redeemed, translated redeemed, the word Greek term lutro. The other word is agerizo, which means to purchase in the market. Now, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, you'll find this in one of his footnotes. Agerizo means to purchase in the market. And what Christ did, He came down to this world where we're at, in the nasty place we're living. He came to the market He come down here where we was at to purchase us. Amen. He died on an old rugged cross. He died in this world. He walked where we walked. He tasted death for every man. The Bible said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was here. He came down here. He came to where we is at. He didn't save us from a distance. He got up close and personal. He came here in the market down in this world. But then the other term, exagerizo, means to purchase in the market. Amen. To take out of the market. He saw me of the slave market of sin, and He laid His life down and redeemed me, but He did not leave me. Amen. He did not leave me in the slave market. Bless God, I'm off the for sale list. I've been purchased by Him. I'm His property, thank God. I've been redeemed by precious blood. Christ purchased my soul. Amen. Now, let me go one other step. Not only did God plant it, not only did Christ purchase it, but let me say this. The Holy Spirit produces it. We're talking about salvation. The Holy Spirit produces it. You've got to be born again. And you can't have a birth without, amen? You can't have a birth without a mother. And the Holy Ghost is, amen, our Heavenly Mother. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say to you, ye must be born again. And I know Nicodemus said, wait a minute now, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? He knew you couldn't have a birth without a mother. He said, hey, I'm not talking about physical. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. I'm talking about that which is spiritual. Amen. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. And the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Well, how can you be saved? Well, you've got to have faith to be saved. Isn't that right? Amen. I mean, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works lest any man should. Now, you can't be saved without faith. But where do you get faith from? Faith doesn't originate with you. Faith is a gift of God. But how does God give it? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word of God.
Well, wait a minute. Where did the Word of God come from? Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. By the way, did you know the first time the Spirit of God's mentioned in the Bible, He's a moving? Hey, God's Holy Ghost is a move. I'm glad for that night He moved on me. Oh, yes, He did. He moved. He took the Word of God, and He anointed that preacher to preach the Word of God, and it brought conviction to my heart, and the Spirit of God drew me. I'm telling you, tugged at me, and I'll tell you what, I came under conviction. I come to that altar, and I repented, and the Holy Ghost introduced me to Jesus and birthed me into the family of God. I've been born again. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That brings me to another point. Let me go say this. Not only did God plant it, Christ purchased it, Holy Ghost produced it, but let me say this. The gospel proclaims it. We're talking about salvation. The gospel proclaims it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That word power is the word dunamis. It means, it's the word we get our word dynamite and dynamo from. That's where our word comes from. But listen, a lot of times we just think, well, the gospel is the dynamite of God. It is. It's the dynamo of God. It is. But it goes further than that. That word also means, it also means a special miraculous power. Dunamis. That's in Acts chapter 2. He said, Jesus Christ, a man approved among you by miracles, signs, and wonders. That word miracles is dunamis. A special miraculous power. We talk about all the days of miracles are gone. Oh, no. Every time God reaches way down and lifts a soul out of the muck and mire of sin and saves them by grace, I'm telling you, that's a miracle of God. The gospel is the dunamis of God the power of God, the miraculous power of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, well, I'm talking about some things I know about salvation. I'm just going to say what I know. I'm not trying to earn my way or work my way. God planned it. Christ purchased it. The Holy Ghost produced it. Gospel proclaims it. Here's another, number five, the saints prove it.
Amen.
If you ever been saved, it'll show up. I'm telling you, it'll show up in your life. You have been saved. Now listen, the Bible said, work out your own salvation. A lot of people, oh yeah, that's what you do. You've got to work for your salvation. Now, wait a minute, you need to read on. Work out your own salvation, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and do His good pleasure. You ain't going to work out something that God ain't worked in. Amen. If you ever get saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're a new man on the inside. And brother, I'm telling you what, if you've got the goods on the inside, sooner or later, it's going to show up on the outside. Reason some folk, by a friend never showing, change in their life, they never had a change of reality, change in their heart. Well, if you ever get saved and something as big as God moves in, I'm telling you what, there'll be a different walk. There'll be a different talk. I'm not an idiot. Not everything changes overnight. We done sent out all the babies. But if we had a little baby in here, if you had a little baby in here still in diapers, that baby's probably got all of it's got all of its limbs. Got two eyes, two ears, a nose. Got all of its equipment. Come on. And that new life, it's a new life, but it don't know how to use everything. But it grows. Amen. The Bible tells for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And what I'm saying is when you get saved, there's a change. Oh, what a radical change there was in my life. And some of you got saved later in life and God took you out of the muck and mire and set you on the solid rock. God turned some from drunks to sober. God turned some from harlotry, my friend, to chastity. God turned some of us, my friend, from dope and gave us hope and took us out of the mire and put us in the choir. I'm telling you, God did a work when He saved my soul. Changed me. He changed my life. I've been changed. And if you had never been changed, I'd check up and see if I'd ever really been saved. Because wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm telling you what, the old things passed away in my life. I love to drink and party and cuss and blaspheme and steal and be vulgar. But when God saved me by His grace, He took me out of that mess. Amen. I didn't quit dancing. I just changed partners. In fact, I didn't even quit drinking. I just changed fountains. Hallelujah. I did quit cussing most of the time until I'm riding with the preacher. I wouldn't have said it out loud, but if you'd wrote it down, I'd probably sign my name to it. That's all right. It's all right for you to laugh. That's okay. I'm just funny. But God did change my life. My little wife could tell you, she knew me before. She knew me before I got to God. And she knew me after. She knew me before I was raised in a sinner's home. I was raised in a military home. I was raised an army brat. Struggled all over the world. And raised to live for the devil, just about what I was. Liquor and beer in the home all the time, party. My family thought I went crazy when I got saved. They threatened to send me to a mental hospital when I surrendered to preach. Because they knew I'd gone crazy. Said it'll last about 2 weeks. Well, it's been 46 years, Mom. I'm still a-going. Hallelujah. And I got to leave them to God. Say amen right there. But I want to tell you what, God changed my life. Have you been changed? I'm going to tell you, this is something I know about salvation. And you know what? I'm staying with what I know. I don't need some newfangled something or another. I don't need these newfangled plans and all of this. You don't think that God coming up into religious paraphernalia by a friend that just produced some kind of profession out of people? I want it real. I'll tell you, I want possession, not profession. If God ever saves you, He'll change you. Amen.
And just signing a card and shaking the preacher's hand, it ain't going to do it. Honey, you've got to get to God. You've got to get to God. You've got to repent. You've got to be dealt with by the Holy Ghost. You've got to be dealt with by the Spirit of God, because except the Father draw, you can't get in. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, you can't get saved just any time you want. You need to know this. You can't get saved just any time you want to. You can only get saved when the Spirit of God is drawing and tugging at your heart. Amen. Some people say, well, I'll wait till I get so decrepit and so dilapidated, then I'll call on God on my deathbed. You may be in your deathbed and not have enough mind to call on God. Seek Him while He may be found, the Bible said. Call upon Him while He is near. I'm almost done. Let me mention a couple of things. I'm talking about staying with what you know. Church, stay with the old time way. And I know you will. As long as this man of God's here, I'm sure you will. But what if he steps off the scene? What if God calls him out? What if... Well, are you going to stay with the old time way? Stay with the old book. Stay with the old, amen, old blessed hope. Stay with this old time path. Say amen right there. Say what you know. Two other things I'll mention. Also in the scripture, there's some things I know about suffering, things I know about seducers, things I know about salvation. And there's some things I know about scriptures. I know some things about the scriptures. I do. I know some things about them. What do you know about them? Number one, they're inspired. Amen. God breathed them. This ain't just a book. This is God's book. He breathed them. Amen. Amen. It's inerrant. You say, oh, that Bible is full of mistakes. Show me one. At times I thought I saw where it looked like a contradiction. When I got to studying and found out, bless God, that works together just like a puzzle. Sometimes when you read the gospel, one gospel will mention something like this, and you'll read the same story in one of the other Gospels, and it'll tell it with a little bit different turn on it. Well, that ain't no contradiction. You're just getting a full-sided view of it. Because you look at this pulpit from behind, and you see a different view than you do when you look at it from the front. If you look at it from the side, you see it from a different view. You can't see the front and back. You just see this side. But God put four Gospels writing from every corner. Bless God, when He puts it all together, you've got a better picture than just one man. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. I'm telling you, this Bible is inspired. It's inerrant. Say amen. It's immaculate. It's pure. Amen. It's infinite. It's eternal. Forever is Thy Word settled in heaven. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, but My Word will never pass away. It's instructive. Amen. This Word instructs you. It's inspiring. That's exactly right. He mentions here all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Uh-huh. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I said something I know about the Bible. It's instructive. It'll get you on the right path. Now, you say, what's the difference between them words? Well, get this. Doctrine equals what is right. Doctrine is what is right. Well, what about the word reproof? Well, reproof is exposing what is not right. And what about correction? That's how to get right. What about instruction in righteousness? That's how to stay right. That works pretty good, doesn't it? Well, preach, brother.
I'm right.
You're right. All right. Some things I know about the Word of God. Listen, I've been preaching a long time. I've studied this book, and I know there's a lot of modern translations. And I wouldn't dare say that every translation was, you know, just absolutely a complete perversion. I wouldn't say that. But I would say this, I don't trust any of them but this King James Bible. It's been here for over 400 years. It's still so. I know there's some out there I wouldn't give 2 cents for. I really wouldn't. I was preaching a meeting years ago, and Dr. Sammy Allen and myself were in a meeting together. We was preaching for Dr. Jerry, I can't even remember, Jerry Clark, who was a chancellor of Tabernacle Bible College there, Brother Harold Seitler School, there in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was preaching a meeting for him. And we had a meeting one morning. I'm almost done. Brother, you get a song ready. We were, you know, and before the service started, we were singing, and then had two ladies that stood up in the morning service. We had morning and evening service. And these two ladies had been out soul winning. And there was a woman in the community who was a woman of ill repute. She was a woman of the night. She was a harlot and a drug addict and an alcoholic. But these ladies went to carry the gospel to them. Thank God for that. And they went and visited the lady. She was very cordial, and she invited them in, and they called her when she was half sober, and sat down and wanted to talk to her about the Bible. And so they got their Bible, and she got her Bible out. Her Bible was an NIV, and they got their King James Bible, and they were trying to talk with her, and they'd turn to Scripture, and they'd read that, and hers wouldn't say the same thing. Sometimes hers would leave completely out. And so the more they try to talk to the lady, they noticed nothing lined up. Here's what the lady said to her. Said, "Ma'am," said, we're kind of having a hard time letting you see this and read this with that Bible. Have you not got a King James Bible?" "Yeah, I got one up there at the top of the closet. But I don't like it. It scares me."
Amen.
And I thought, and I heard that was the testimony of a sinner. They could read the NIV and still live in wickedness. But that old King James Bible bust your hide, expose sin. Say amen right there. It ought to scare the devil out of you if you're living wicked. I've never forgot that. But I'll say this. I do not hang my head in shame when I get around some of this pseudo-intellectual crowd that think they're smarter than God and look down their nose at me because I believe in this old King James Bible. I've got an argument. Bless God, it works. I've been preaching it 45 years. It works. I got saved when it was preached to me. I've been preaching it 45 years. I've seen thousands come to know the God. I've never found anything wrong with it. It sure has found a lot wrong with me, though. Amen. I ain't never found nothing wrong with it, but it sure has pointed out a lot wrong with me. Say amen right there. Or old me. Did you see where my glasses went? Thank you, my little lamb. It's all right to laugh in the house of God. One other thing I've got to be done. I did tell the preacher I'd get. Well, I've done preached 4 minutes over, preacher. Can I preach 2 more minutes? 2 more minutes? Don't, please don't do that. Don't leave.
I need this.
Some things I know about suffering. Some things I know about seducers. Some things I know about salvation. Some things I know about Scriptures. Finally, some things I know about supply. I'm glad that God provides. And that's in our text. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Some things I know about supply. I do know this. God provides. Don't you believe that? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And the Lord has proven Himself time and time and time and time again. When I didn't know where it was going to come from and I had no way of meeting the obligation, just in a moment, I'm telling you what, just in time, God showed up. That's the kind of God I serve. Oh, my soul. My wife was in this terrible thing that happened to my wife, and the insurance company we had just would not, they would not even talk about paying anything. She was in the hospital 6 months. I'm sure the thing probably cost, went into the $1 million. And I got down on my knees, and I said, "God, you let the devil do this. I just pray that you make him pay for it." And they got to, so I was praying. So the hospital came to me and took me to the Medicaid office. And, I mean, they did. And my wife met the criteria. And South Carolina Medicaid is paid mostly by liquor tax
and cigarette tax and gambling tax.
And they went back and paid for the ambulance bill. They're still paying. God's made the devil pay, and I'm the devil. He's hotter than a collar back.
I'll never forget one day, about 3 months. And I may have told this last time. It's all right. About 3 months in that thing, she'd been in the hospital. And I'm the kind of fella who believed, man, I ought to try to pay his bill. I was going to try to pay my bill somehow or another. And I'll never forget getting. I went to my son, Tristan's dad, came by the hospital. I've been sitting there all day. Said, Dad, why don't you go on up to the prayer ground, up here on the mountain where God fills you with the Holy Ghost? And I'll tell you about that next time I come. And I went up there to that prayer ground where God filled me when I was an 18-year-old boy with the Spirit of God. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, Lord, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And I didn't talk in no tongues, but God sure gave me a lot of grace to control the one of God. Say amen right there. And I set a hand with every tree up there. Amen. But I had a time. God did something in my soul. Reality. And preacher, next time you come down our way, I'd like to take you up to that old mountain where God filled me with the Spirit. And I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, I sure don't want to be in debt. And Lord, they said that they might take care of it. Lord, I said, would you please let me hear something from Medicaid? I went in the next day to the hospital. The phone rang. And this lady who wasn't even no longer assigned to our case, she only was one of them that worked on us when we first got there. She said, Reverend Smith. I said, yeah. So this is so-and-so. I said, I was just thinking about you, Dave. And she said, I'm just curious. And she said, I just noticed that Medicaid had taken Mary's case and it just come in our system. I said, really? I said, when did it happen? And she told me 4:30 p.m. And at 4:30 p.m., I was on my knees at that old prayer ground, at that old mountain rock altar, calling on God. Hey, and God, amen, took care of that need. I mean, He's still taking care of that need. My God has supplied all our need according to His riches in glory. Bless His name. And I'm telling you, all through my life, I've seen God send it in just time and time and time again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the kind of God. Amen, sister. Marcy, glory to God. Praise the Lord for His mercy. She gets excited. I like when Marcy gets excited. Glory to God. She's all right. She's all right. Hallelujah. Did I tell you this? Can I tell you this? Glory to God for Him supplying all needs. This happened to me in the second church I was in. This is about 37 years ago. My little Volkswagen broke down. It's the only car I had. God helped me. Anybody's just got a Volkswagen. That's all they got. That old Beetle, super trouble. I think I told y'all last time. That thing broke down. I didn't tell nobody. I got on my knees and I begged God to do something. And God just assured my heart. He said, you take it and tell them to fix it. Don't say nothing. And I done it. I took and told them to fix it. Hallelujah. On Sunday, two widow women showed up at my house to visit us from another church where I'd held a revival meeting. And said, Preacher Rudy, said, God woke us both up. They lived in two different towns. Woke us both up the same morning and wanted us to come see you and bring you something. And they got together and they come see me, one of these little white-headed saints. One of these white-headed saints come and she put some money in my hand. And I said, glory to God. And I put it in my pocket. And the other lady, she come up and give me another something in her hand. I didn't look at it. I just put it in my hand. God bless you, I said. They left there that day. And as soon as they got out of sight, I about tore my pocket off. See what I got. In this pocket was five fresh $1 bills given to me by an old widow woman who only had Social Security and only that was limited. In my left pocket was five 20s. Now, this was 37, 38 years ago. I went and got that car the next day. Guess how much it was?
You say coincidence? That wasn't coincidence. My God supplies all your need according to His riches and glory. One thing not only does God provide, but God answers prayer. Don't you believe that? And God protects. God protects. God protected. Brother Chad, Sister Marcia, Wyatt Ward. Ain't God good? Some things I know. I'm going to stay. I encourage you to stay what you know. Let's stand all over the house for prayer. Come on to the music. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, never trusted Christ, God had a wonderful plan. He had you in mind. And He said, whosoever will, let him come. Christ tasted death for every man. That includes you. The Holy Spirit is here to draw and convict. If you come and yield to Him. And if you're here tonight and have a need in your life, join these who've come to the altar already and let the Lord help you. Our Father, in Jesus' name, work your will in our midst tonight. And Lord, I pray your glory, Lord, and grace will abound and you'll meet the need of every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we singing, brother?
Page 500.
Page 500. If you need to come pray, you come right on. Join these. Sing it, brother.
Page 500.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition.
Every head bow for a moment. We're going to be gone in just a second. But I wonder if there'd be one here tonight, say, Preacher Rudy. You know, you was talking about being saved and changed. Preacher, I made a profession, but really, I can't say my life changed. I sure don't want to make a mistake and miss heaven. I appreciate your prayers. Don't embarrass me. But I'm not right with God, and I'd appreciate you praying for me. Would you raise your hand? Is there one like that anywhere in the midst of us tonight? Is there one? You just want prayer, raise that hand and let us pray for you. We're looking around. We're waiting just a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother, sing that last thing.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Calling, do not pass me by.
Praise God. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, Heritage Baptist Church, for putting up with me for these days. I sure have enjoyed being here, and my grandson have, and Pastor Shearer. Thank you so very much. And it tickles me that God has touched Marcy's. She got up and She got up on her own a while ago. And, you know, she's after the fall, she hadn't been wanting to get up, but she got up a while ago. Holy Ghost. God, that's all right. I'd like to get up, see them get up and have a spell. Say amen right here. My wife, she'll get in. She physically, she's ailing, I mean. But when the Spirit of God gets the moving, oh, my soul. It's the Spirit of the Lord's real. Bless His holy name. Amen. We'll give Brother Shearer time to get Miss Varsity back to sleep. All right, Brother Shearer, I love you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, brother. I love you. Appreciate you. I cut up with him a lot, but he's one of the finest men I've ever met. God's put me in his heart. Me and he in my heart. God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you for all that helped me. Thank you. Thank you, all of you that come for aid. The Spirit of God sometimes moves on her. I don't understand it. If somebody's unsaved, boy, she's getting all upset. She wants somebody to talk to them about Jesus. Amen. And Amy's seen that many times at the hospital and things. And thank you for just being there, all of you. I'm not going to name all of you because y'all in this with me together. Amen. I can't thank you enough. I'm thrilled when my wife, that's the first time she walked like that. Sherry knows that. We've been putting her in a wheelchair, and she won't walk like that. Now, I know that no big deal to you, but it's an awful big deal to her husband.
Hallelujah.
Well, anyway, I was looking for her to pick up her bed and walk tonight, amen? But I want you to have a seat just for a second. I'm going to take it off from Brother Rudy. He's been so good to us. I cannot thank you enough, folks, for we get Brother Rudy out here. I need this more than you have any idea. I think you know that. I'm not going to tell you how it is with me. I'm just not going to do it. I'm all right. I'll tell you what. It's been a great week. And I've got a little twinkle in my eye and got a kick to my step and see me run up the platform tonight, man. I'm happy. Amen. And I hope you give tonight. Just I love him out of your heart. He's got a lot of burdens. More than you ever know. 17 years he's taken care of his wife. It's a long time. And may I encourage you husbands, take good care of your wife while you can. Pamper her, make her the queen. Love all over her. I showed Brother Rudy some pictures before it happened. I said, she's a beautiful lady. Still is a beautiful lady. I got a different lady. So please take care of your wife. You made a commitment. You made a covenant. Covenants are only broken by death. You made a commitment. You made a covenant. And you better live up to that thing. And you better treat her awful careful. And you look at her, she's a judge. That's right. Hey, quit your preaching out there, amen. Father, I pray tonight as we give to Brother Rudy and give him a love offering, help him, Lord Jesus, he go back to your business. And Lord, thank you for him. Be his Sister Mary and his family. Thank for Tristan being able to come out and been really our legs for both of us. Bless him, Lord God. Bless him in his life that he'd walk close to you. He'd see the love of his grandpa and he'd for Jesus and he'd live for you, Lord God. Now, Lord, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.